Yes, everybody.
Welcome to F4W Online Unplugged.
I was looking for Ragtime on YouTube, and by God, I found Weeping Willow, composed by Scott Joplin, performed on the classical guitar by Giovanni DiCiaro, which, by the way, is the best name I've ever heard. That's pretty cool. Check that out, everybody. It's up on YouTube right now. I need to find more Ragtime played on the guitar. That's pretty sweet. All right, everybody, we are here on the Brian and Vinny Show. Vinny is back in the studio, thank God!
Here I am.
September 4, 2012, figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. A free show today, Vinny.
It is.
So you're going to get to do a big plug here at the end.
I'll save it to the end. I have been meaning to do this plug for a friend's project for a couple weeks now, but I'm an idiot and I keep forgetting.
Well, I can confirm both of those facts.
All right. Oh, they are facts.
Sure.
Don't dispute that.
This is apropos music as well, given the death of your computer.
I've had a rough day, everyone. It's been a day full of technical issues and beset by scheduling conflicts and things like that, but short answer is my computer is at present point dead. I am,
I don't think dead is the proper
term.
Well,
I'm largely confident that by tomorrow it will be alive again. But right now, it's dead.
It's on life support. Because there are still signs of life.
Yeah, that's true. It's without getting into some of the detail here, or too much detail here and boring people, but it's responding to a few keyboard commands. It just won't boot up.
Why don't you explain to everybody what happened to the computer?
It's kind of a long story. But, since you asked, it all goes back to, I was in a hotel in Seattle today. It was the 3-month late celebration of the 5th year anniversary with a girlfriend. So we went and got
a girlfriend. Like, we've never mentioned her name 1,000 times.
Yeah. So we went to Seattle. We got one of the hotel packages for the King Tut exhibit. And we stayed overnight and had a good time and shopping and drank a lot of beer and ate a lot of food.
A hotel package for the King Tut exhibit?
Yeah.
Do you stay in a pyramid?
No. I stayed in a very nice hotel, actually. Really, when we looked at the hotel we got in the heart of Seattle on Memorial Day, frankly, it was a fantastic deal.
Based on my knowledge of ancient Egypt, probably a better place than King Tut ever stayed.
You know, part of the exhibit is they actually show a several thousand old toilet seat, and yes, I can confirm. I can confirm. This hotel was much more luxurious than anything Tutankhamun ever saw himself.
About that.
So we're down there, and I'm going to plug my computer in this morning, and the outlet's dead. Well, that's weird. I'll try this other outlet over here. Hey, that one's not working either. So I'm trying everyone in the hotel, and it occurred to me, this is a very expensive hotel room. The odds that all of these outlets are dead is very, very slim. Not to mention some of them have lamps plugged into them, and the lamps work fine. So I start examining the cord, and the cord itself. So the computer's plugged in, but the power's not getting to the computer. And I'm looking over things, and I find a spot in the cord where it's, for lack of a better word, bulging. And so I grab the bolt.
The cord is bulging?
There's a bulge in the cord. Not a large bulge.
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
So the... I'm really hearing this story for the first time, as all of you are,
yes,
dear listeners. So, you plugged it in.
Yeah.
And upon plugging it in, you notice a bulge in the cord.
No, not upon plugging it in. It was it's very, very small. There was just one point in the cord where it looked...
like a snake swallowed a mouse.
Like a snake swallowed a mouse's tooth.
Okay.
There's one point in the cord where it is just a little bit bigger than the rest of the cord.
So let me finish this part of the story.
All right.
You couldn't help but squeeze it.
Well, that part is true. So what happened is I squeezed it, and for about 3 seconds, the little light on the cord that indicates there's a charge going to the computer, that came on. And I said, great, I fixed it. And I let go. That light immediately goes off. And then I get a message on my machine saying that... I'm going to take that back. I let go. The light goes off. At that point, my laptop was folded, so it was closed.
And it sprung open.
No. It did not smoke or anything. I didn't think it was a miss for a while. But then I spent more time basically trying to get this cord to get this damn light again, to get a charge on my computer again. It never worked. And finally, I said, well, I will figure this out later. Then I went to open my computer, and I noticed it had shut down. I didn't shut it down, and the battery was not dead. It was low, but it was not dead. And when you fold the screen, it's not supposed to shut down. It's supposed to sleep. So I thought, huh, it shut down. I'm restarting. That's weird. Then it comes up with a message saying, well, your clock has been reset to, like, January of 2008.
Oh, no.
I thought, well, that's odd.
Y2K struck.
Maybe it did. Maybe it did. So time goes on, and a few more hours go by, and, you know, to my knowledge, the computer is working fine. We're using it. It's working fine. I'm a little concerned about how I'm going to get through the RAW report and all this, because I still have to watch RAW at this point, I should mention. This is Tuesday morning. This is going on. I still have to watch a 3-hour wrestling show. So we shut it down. Computer is still working fine at that point. We shut it down. We go to the Apple Store. I had just bought a power cord, actually earlier in August. It was even more recent than I remembered, because I kept leaving my power cord here, and I just wanted a backup power cord. So I had a backup power cord. I went to the Apple Store, and I explained, and these are the exact words I used. I bought a power cord here about a month ago, and this power cord is not working. See what I did there? Subtle. So, they checked, sure enough, they checked the cord, it was not working, they checked that I had bought one, they handed me a new one and sent me on my way, and I thought, great! And I came over to your house to watch RAW.
So you didn't tell them about the mystery bulge?
Nothing about that. At that point, it's irrelevant. It was just, the cord is dead and not working. Hmm. Clearly, something was wrong with it. So I come home, sit on your couch, I start my computer. The screen goes gray, there's the Apple logo and the little spinning dealy, and then nothing else happens for about 5 minutes. I think, oh, this is a bad, 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 bad sign. So I have my iPhone, and I'm looking up all the things I can do. I'm trying to boot it in safe mode. I tried to boot a hardware test. I got the hardware test up. I ran there's the quick version, which takes 3 minutes, and the long version that takes more than an hour. I did the quick version, and it found zero hardware errors. But again, this shows it's reacting to keyboard commands and even the mouse pad or whatever, the finger track pad that is working. So there are signs of life, as you noted. So I tried all this, and I couldn't get it to actually boot up. And I thought, fuck it, I'm going back to the Apple Store. So I went back to the Apple Store. And what happened there was I was actually in there for less than a minute when they simply said, all our technicians are busy for the rest of the day. We can make you an appointment. And so I said, well, let's make an appointment for Tacoma, which is, after all, where I live. And that's what's going on at this point.
So you have not run the one-hour diagnostic test while we were watching the show and such?
I did not do that. I kind of was ready to cry. the other things I can do, I do have, first of all, every file that is on that computer, I do have backed up at home. Thank God. Thank the Lord. With the exception of this week's SmackDown report. So, if you get the newsletter tomorrow night and the SmackDown report is 8 words long, you know what happened. Mm. So, I was looking online for everything I could try, and a lot of them said you can try to reboot the computer from the Apple OS CD, which I do have at home. But I'm not at home. I'm at your goddamn house. So when I get home tonight, we'll see how I feel. I may just take it into the Apple Genius and say, do whatever the fuck you can. But I may try and reboot it tonight on my own.
Hmm.
So that's where we stand with that machine.
I don't mean to laugh, because God knows, that box over there, Vinny, destroyed by a power surge.
That sucks.
Yeah. And I have since got a new and better box. That's the good news. But, destroyed by a power surge, so I should not laugh. But you merely told me that your computer had been killed by a power surge. I did not hear the story about the mystery bulge that you squeezed.
Yeah.
For some reason, that makes the story funny.
Well, it does sound very sexual.
No, it's just preposterous. Like, your computer was fine until there was a blob on the power cord, and apparently you squeezed too much juice into the computer.
Sure.
That's what happened, right?
This is a backup of electricity?
I guess.
Yeah.
It's like a big bulge of electrical power that you squeezed into your machine. And it's just funny because, like, you know, you're a guy. So you looked at this cord, and there was a bulge in it, and your brain said, squeeze bulge! And unfortunately, it was to your dismay.
It did not work out the way that usually goes.
Well, kind of did.
Really? Your computer shuts down?
Well, I mean...
You started this. May as well see it through to the end now.
You know, you squeeze the... Anyway, let's move on.
All right.
Maybe you need a surge protector. I don't know if that would have done any good, actually.
Okay.
If, in fact, that it was a bulge of electricity.
The cord itself actually has a surge protector built in, but the bulge was between the surge protector and the computer. Yes.
I see. You got to go to the Apple Store tomorrow, and you got to promise me that you're going to go into the Apple Store. You can tell this man the story of the mystery bulge that you squeezed.
No.
You have to.
No.
That's got to be part of the problem here.
No.
You know what?
I will tell him what happened.
I don't care if this show is free and everybody's expecting to hear about wrestling. I'm going to Google
bulge.
Bulge of electricity in power cord, comma squeeze. Let's see here. Let's see. What is bulge on power cords? How about that? I think it's asking about a different bulge, which I sure is a better term that I could use than bulge.
Well, I don't know what else to tell you, man.
There's a plastic bulge. Let's see.
Plastic cord.
On many of the power cords for my high-tech equipment, that's how this starts here.
Off to a brilliant start.
On many of the power cords for my high-tech equipment, there is a plastic bulge a few inches from the computer end of the power cord. Sometimes this same bulge can be found on USB and other cables. It is not the transformer, as that is larger and usually at the wall end. It doesn't appear to be some sort of strain relief mechanism, like the strain disconnect on Xbox controllers. What are these for?
This is a different question than what I had, because my bulge was not supposed to be there.
Tell me more. Let's see. It is a lump of ferrite. The wires in the power cable are looped around the ferrite. It doesn't say what happens if you squeeze it. Maybe I Googled incorrectly. Let me try one more here. Squeeze the bulge on power cord. Let's see here. It doesn't have anything. Doesn't have anything about that, Vinny. I don't know what to tell you, dude.
I've invented a new problem.
I don't know what to tell you. You have a Mac?
I have a MacBook Pro.
Mac power cord. Mystery bulge. Well, it doesn't look like it, Vinny. I don't know what to tell you. You know that if you called somebody to for help, they wouldn't be able to help you. They'd be doing what I'm doing right now.
Googling bulge?
It says, two folks say it is for protection to minimize stress on the cord at the most likely points of failure.
Wait, say that again?
Protection to minimize stress on the cord at the most likely points of failure.
See, again, this sounds like something that is supposed to be in the cord.
The goal is to reduce EMI and RFI. You can Google that. I'm sorry to laugh, Vinny.
No, you're not.
It's just...
You're really not.
I am, but I'm still laughing, if that makes any sense. I just like the story would not have been funny at all except for the part about how there was a mystery bulge that you just could not help but squeeze.
Yeah.
And apparently that caused all the damage. I can't even conceive of this. That's the problem. It's like such a ridiculous tale. It makes no sense.
Well, this is the same guy who got carjacked and then got sent a bill.
Well, that is true, Vinny.
Yeah.
That is true. Well, I suppose we should get started with your non-existent SmackDown report.
I loaded up somebody else's SmackDown notes here. What I do remember, because I watched this show Monday morning before I left on my little mini vacation, I remember starting the show in a bad mood, thinking that it was a giant waste of time, and having that confirmed by the end.
Well, at least, Vinny, at least you did not have to watch this with your entire in-law family.
No.
Your wife's mom, dad, and sister.
No,
were all downstairs watching me watch this show. That was the goddamn most embarrassing moment of my life. Right there. It really is embarrassing to be a wrestling fan sometimes.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that as we go over this show.
All right. So, yes, that's right. I it's all coming back to me as I go over this other person's report. My first sentence was, "Welcome to the waste of time that is SmackDown." And then out came Sheamus to talk about how great Triple H is.
That's how it started.
That is a waste of time.
Yeah.
A waste of time. So, Damian Sandow came out. He buried Sheamus for being ignorant and stupid. Sheamus says, "Come down here and fight." Damian said no. Booker T came out and he booked the match. So, Damian Sandow versus Sheamus. Fine. We had Rey Mysterio versus Cody Rhodes. All I remember is the finish. We had Rey...
We need your Apple computer back.
You like the clicking?
That's the loudest goddamn clicking I've ever heard. Stop that.
Rey beat Cody with a roll-up. I remember that. So Cody is going after Rey afterwards, and I can use the arrow keys to scroll. Brian, I'd be happy to hear.
I'm just wondering if, like, you've got it blown up so big that you have to hit the down button after every sentence. What is happening over there?
I'm sorry. It's your machine.
Is there a bulge? Don't squeeze it if there is a bulge anywhere on that computer or the cord.
All bulges over on the side of the desk shall remain unsquozen.
Unsquozen?
Unsquozen.
All right.
We have Rey beat Cody. Then Sin Cara came out. He set Cody up so Rey could hit a 619, and he put a Sin Cara mask on him. And I thought at the time, well, this sounds like they're leading to a tag match, but I don't think they're smart enough to do that. Well, they did on Raw. So there you go. They re-showed all the anger managements from Monday in their entirety. Caitlyn wrestled Natalya. It was not good. Caitlyn won with a roll-up. That's about it. Did I miss anything?
I don't think so.
All right.
But the match was horrible.
Booker did a promo with Stryker, and since he is the GM of SmackDown, and since SmackDown is a waste of time, he talked about Raw. Not making any of this up. Talked about AJ and something. They showed the Raw rebound of Punk, Lawler, and Cena. Then they showed the anger management skit from Raw. And they had the Sheamus Damian Sandow match. It was short. It was fine. It was competitive. I do remember this. I was expecting a complete and total squash going in. They had a competitive back and forth match that made it look like Damian Sandow had a chance to pull out a victory here over the world champion.
I feel like we're watching two completely different programs.
Yeah, maybe we did.
I seem to remember Sheamus kept beating him up and he kept running away.
Well, that was the finish.
Repeatedly.
That was the finish.
At which point, Whitney's mom said, "That fella's not doing very well."
No. By that point, he
said,
was
"You're
not.
Right. In more ways than one."
But that was 6 or 7 minutes into the match. The first 5 minutes were much more even. But yes, the finish was Damian kept trying to bail. Sheamus kept throwing him back into the ring. And finally, Damian bailed and sprinted up the ramp as fast as he could.
Which was not very fast.
Well, no. But that was that. I am fine with Damian Sandow running away from a fight. Damian Sandow is not Steve Austin or Vader.
I am going to remember you said that, Vinny. Because in about 2 weeks, you're going to be so sick. Sick of Damian Sandow running away from fights.
That is likely.
If he cartwheeled his way up the ramp, that'd be one thing.
It would. It would be a thing.
Instead, he just runs slowly up the ramp.
The primetime players beat Dustin Gabriel and Tyson Kidd. Nobody cares. We had the...
I thought it was fine.
It was a fine TV
match. I'm
going to
be positive. I like all of these men.
This was totally fine. It went 3 minutes. One team won. None of it matters. They aired the final anger management skit from Raw. Del Rio came out to run his mouth. Kane came out. He scared away Josh. Out came Teddy Long, who was not the GM, and he booked Kane versus Alberto. I don't know how he can do that. I'd be lying if I said I really cared. So Kane wrestled Del Rio. Doing in progress. Ricardo distracted Kane, and that let Del Rio hit a backstabber for the win. And Kane freaked out, and he attacked Josh Matthews, and he murdered him, and he hit him with a chokeslam, apologizing the entire time. So Josh Matthews is dead. They come back from break, and Michael Cole, who just watched his colleague get murdered by a giant angry man, is talking about how terrible this is and how something has to be done, and he's doing it in the most non-impassioned, bored, absent-minded, phony way possible.
Well, he does hate Josh.
This sucked.
Imagine if Kane chokeslammed me, your reaction.
Yay! Go Kane! Here's some money!
In reporting it to the listeners.
Yay!
Kane chokeslammed Brian. It's terrible.
Brian, Michael Cole makes a shitload more money at his job than I do at this job. Is that not true?
Well, I'm not sure. I have not seen his finances.
I guarantee you.
It's a man who relies on facts. I cannot confirm that he makes more than you, but it would be a solid assumption.
All right. So you should put more effort into it. Where the fuck were we? Randy Orton versus Dolph Ziggler. It was funny because Cole did a speech. Oh, he did his speech, which was so awful, and talking about how something had to be done and all this, and it was so important and so moving to him that he then casually and in the exact same tone of voice threw it to a Triple H video from Raw. So they went to commercial.
Are you trying to tell me that Michael Cole's no good at his job?
I am. And yet he is everywhere. He's the only announcer who has survived at this point. There was a point on Raw where he was literally the only announcer left standing for like an hour. Orton versus Ziggler. And he came back from commercial, and apparently Cole had been giving a stern talking to, because he recapped the speech about how what had happened to Josh, how terrible it was, and he did much better. Yeah. He did a lot better. So they had a match. Orton hit an RKO and won. Of course he did. Dolph Ziggler. What are you going to do? And I believe the show ended there. Looking over this.
You're not a big fan of this program.
I hate this show. I would feel better if it was a bad show. Instead, it is a show where nothing ever happens. No one ever changes position on the card. No one moves up. No one moves down. Nothing of any consequence happens. Sometimes it's entertaining to watch. Sometimes it's boring. It is always pointless. It is always a waste of time. It's Superstars. It really is.
Yeah. Damian Sandow wrestled Sheamus.
Yeah.
That's a move up the card.
Is he a bigger star now than he was a week ago?
Oh, God, no.
All right.
God, no. Believe it or not, I got a song, everybody, after that enlightening SmackDown report. Let's play it. Let's put you in camo, and we'll call you Combat Girl.
Combat Girl. Combat Girl. Hit you as hard as she could.
She interpreted it as hit me in the balls.
Right. I apologize. Combat Girl. Combat Girl.
Still, I'm thinking about Combat Girl.
And you can't get her up because she's just too fat. Combat Girl. And they still can't do it because she was just too fat. That made it.
Good ending.
That was a great ending.
That was from Victor in Lowell, Massachusetts. A fine song. There, Victor. Alrighty. Done suppose we should do Roar.
Yeah, so I eventually, after many hours of grief and pain, was able to watch this show. It was long. So, before the show came out...
I like how people on the board are upset that we mention every week that the show is too long.
Well, it's not getting shorter, is it?
I'm a reporter, and I am reporting a fact. that this show seems like it's getting longer every week. So, be ready for more! Until the show gets shorter, at which point I will report the show feels shorter.
I love the notion that it's our fault we see the same shit every week.
Yeah.
It's the same show we watch every week.
Yeah.
So Cole's alone at the announce desk. They showed a clip from right before the show went on the air of Punk and Lawler brawling, and Punk laid him out. So we had Michael Cole doing solo commentary, which somehow was not the catastrophe I imagined.
It became a catastrophe later.
So Sheamus came out to talk. No one cared. Out came Punk instead, or as well. It was in Chicago, his hometown, so he was completely adored, of course. He explained that he had never turned his back on the fans. They agreed. Said Lawler had attacked him from behind and gotten what he deserved. And Cena had agreed with Lawler in the first place, and that was why Cena is the one, was the one who had turned his back on the fans. Sheamus interrupted. Said Punk talked about being disrespectful. Here he was interrupting people just like Rock interrupted him in the first place. They jibber-jabbered for a while. AJ came out. And she booked Del Rio versus Cena and also CM Punk versus Sheamus for tonight. We had Orton versus Ziggler. Yes, a rematch. Rematch of their Epic SmackDown match. They had a house show match. It was very long. A lot of chin locks. A lot of random brawling. Not a lot of heat until Orton teased an RKO. And shortly after, they went to the finish. And Ziggler hit a roll-up and hooked the tights and the ropes for the win. Yes, Dolph Ziggler won a match.
I was fantastically underwhelmed by this match.
Well, it was a house show match. They did it probably with a commercial break in there at least 10 minutes. And they just did chin locks and...
I have a feeling even a house show match would have had a better crowd reaction than this.
This is a lousy crowd. Not a very good show, but this crowd reacted to two things all night long. CM Punk and finishing moves.
Well, they wanted CM Punk there as their babyface hometown hero.
Yeah.
And he's supposed to be a heel.
Yeah.
And so the WWE didn't give them what they wanted, and they didn't care about anything else.
Correct.
For 3 hours!
Correct. Yeah, so Dolph won his first win in what seems like years, and it was so important that before he even got to the entrance ramp, like before he even got to the stage, I should say, he's walking up and his music cuts off and Miz's music hits and out comes Miz and they just pass each other. Orton just disappears and Miz came out to do guest announcing.
Commentary.
Yeah, commentary. We had an anger management skit. They had their anger collages that they made last week. Bryan's just had the word yes and no on it over and over again. Kane's was blank. Then he threw it in a trash can. He used magic power to set it on fire. Bryan called him a teacher's pet. The only funny thing here was Kane's name tag. Just reading Kane.
Yeah.
This was the worst skit they had done so far. As noted on SmackDown, it looked like they were setting up a tag match with Cody against the Masked Mexicans, and here we got it. Holy cow. Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara versus Cody Rhodes and Tensai. I don't know if you noticed this, Brian, but there was a commercial during this match, or during the entrances, for KFC's Chicken Littles.
No!
Yes.
Oh my god.
I actually got a text from Bill Barnwell about 2 weeks ago saying, hey, Chicken Littles are back.
It's impossible.
And I went to investigate, and they were not at the one I went to, but it's 2 weeks later, and now they're advertising them nationally. Keep your eyes open.
Well, here's a report from Fast Food Geek. Chicken Little sandwiches return after 20 years.
20 years? Wow,
and
I didn't know that.
In brackets, it says report.
That makes it important. Report.
That's from March of 2012. Even Barnwell was behind by months. All right, it says, remember back in the 80s and 90s when yo-yos were fun toys, empty hairspray cans and cassette tapes littered the floor, and one could get a value-sized chicken sandwich for some spare change. KFC is attempting to revive some of the glory days with the reintroduction of their beloved slider-style fried chicken sandwich. Some of you remember the Chicken Little? Bread, chicken, and mayo. Little guy was sold for 39 cents. God, I remember that. There's a KFC from 19, 87, a commercial. Fast forward 20 plus years, you'll find the Cheeky Littles reappearing in select test markets, mostly unchanged except for a price bump to $129.
That is a 400% increase, or 300% increase,
price,
I guess.
Price bump!
Yes.
Oh. Well, I guess we'll have to go check that out on my eating day this weekend. I used to eat so many of those things. Sometimes I'm baffled that I am not 800 pounds.
I'm always baffled you're not 800 pounds. And usually pissed off about it, too.
I actually, during my summer vacation, I actually went on summer vacation for the first time since, I believe, high school. I worked every day, of course, but I was still gone for a week. I ate so much. And I'm not 500 pounds. Actually, I'm going to go to the gym tomorrow. I'll find out how much I weigh.
You're in the low 400 range.
I'm kind of an inner, I'm interested in seeing how much I weigh, because I should have put on significant weight, especially being 37. So we'll find out tomorrow if I did or if I didn't. But on the last day that I was there, I was finishing off a giant bucket of Tillamook chocolate chip mint ice cream. And as I finished off the bucket, I thought to myself, man, over the course of the past week, I've eaten this whole bucket, which at the time seemed like a lot. But then I started to think, well, you know, it's been 7 days. Is it really out of control to eat that whole bucket of ice cream over the course of 7 days? And I brought this up to Whitney, at which point she noted, you do realize that you also had a double scoop of ice cream every single day this week. So, I conclude...
The answer is yes.
...that in addition to everything else I ate, and I ate way too much, I also may have had about 3 gallons of ice cream over the course of 7 days. Don't get me wrong, it was awesome, but it was too much. I just thought I'd throw that out there. Anyway...
So they're doing this match, and they're beating up Sin Cara, and Cody's going for the mask, and there's no heat for any of it, and there's no heat for anything until Ray hit a 619, and then they went crazy. And I thought, wait a minute, Ray, when did he get in the match? So yes, the crowd was so disinterested in everything that even a Rey Mysterio hot tag got no reaction.
Mm-hmm. By the way,
yeah.
Remember a couple of weeks ago you brought up chocolate chip mint ice cream?
All right.
You don't remember this?
Oh, Super China Buffet Day. Yes, yes.
Yeah, what brand were you talking about?
Oh, the one that I liked so much?
Yes.
Pretty sure it was Breyers.
Breyers. Well, here's what you need to do, Vinny. Mm-hmm. Remember I was talking a while ago about how I liked Häagen-Dazs ice cream, their chocolate chip mint?
Yeah.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, I went on a hot date with my wife. And we went to Anthony's home port down in Kirkland. And do you know what's right across the street?
Cold Stone?
No. A Ben and Jerry's store.
Oh, yeah.
And never been in one before. And so, of course, I had to get the chocolate chip mint ice cream. And I have yet to find chocolate chip mint ice cream by Ben and Jerry's in a store around here. I don't know if they don't make it around here or if you have to order it online or what the deal is. But they certainly had it in the Ben & Jerry's store. This was the best chocolate chip mint ice cream ever! These chunks of chocolate chips in this mint chocolate chip ice cream were like the size of the squares on a Hershey bar.
Mm.
They're so big, and they're so cold because it's ice cream, and they're so chocolatey. I'm going to drive to Kirkland every Saturday and get a double scoop of this ice cream. It is the best. So if anybody knows any stores that carry Ben & Jerry's chocolate, I think it's chocolate chunk ice cream they call it. Mint chocolate chunk is what they call it. If you know any stores that sell it, I've looked at QFC and Safeway and I believe Fred Meyer as well, and I've been unable to find it. If there is a store that specifically sells this ice cream, please email me, brian@wrestlingobserver.com, or send me a tweet, @BrianAlvarez, and alert me. And Vinny, you've got to go to this Ben & Jerry's and try this ice cream. You'll never be the same.
I'll see what I can do.
Mm-hmm.
So, Raw.
Yeah.
I forgot where we were here. Oh, the tag match.
Ray
hit a 619. Sin Cara hit a senton. They pinned Cody. How was that? Had another anger management skit. They did the trust drill. The instructor ordered Daniel Bryan to fall backwards, and Kane would catch him. To which Kane replied, "I will." That made me laugh. So Bryan said he trusted Kane. He fell backwards into him. It would be a lie to say Kane caught him, but the fact is he is large, and Bryan fell backwards into him and essentially bounced off. So everyone said Kane did a great job. Then the instructor told Harold to fall, and Kane and Bryan would both catch him. Instead, Kane and Bryan both let poor Harold fall to the earth, and they laughed at themselves and laughed at each other for being mean to Harold and how funny that was. And I thought at this point they would be friends and it'd be something new. It was the top of hour number two, 1 hour into a 3 hour show, and out came Sheamus to wrestle CM Punk in a world champion versus WWE champion match. And I thought, wow, that's fucking stupid. You know who agreed with me? CM Punk! He came out in street clothes, pointed out this match, by definition, should be nothing short of a WrestleMania main event. It sure as hell shouldn't be the top of the hour match on Raw. And he was leaving. And he left. And in Chicago, he actually got boos. And frankly, I'm flabbergasted. Even though it meant that they didn't get to see him. I thought he would still get cheered for this. So Punk left. He ran into AJ. AJ said he couldn't leave. He said he had personal days in his contract and he was taking one. And he bailed. And AJ was sad. And Stryker arrived. He asked AJ what she was going to do about the main event. The main event? Cena versus Del Rio is still going on.
Yeah.
What? Do you not know what main event means?
Well, of course not.
So, that was that. So, Sheamus wrestled Jack Swagger. He won with a clover leaf. Got a new move. And Alberto and Ricardo attacked him. Ricardo ended up beating a brogue kick. That was that. Eve had a bad match with Caitlin. Miz and Layla were on commentary, burying each other, and it got very, very annoying to the point Michael Cole had to tell them both to shut up and talk about the match.
The irony.
Yes. Frankly, I didn't at the time. At the time, I was so happy they were stopping. It didn't occur to me that Michael Cole was the one who had to tell them to talk about the match for once. So,
Miz has an amazing talent. The talent of being ungodly annoying. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I know some people would say that about me, but it's not true. And it's certainly, if it is true, not to the level of Miz. This man can annoy anyone with an amazing degree of ease, which is why he just can't be a babyface. Remember when he was a babyface in Ohio Valley? It was hideous.
I don't remember that. I remember when he first came to WWE and the skits they did to try to make him a babyface, and it was a ridiculous idea.
Yeah.
And you can't watch this man for a minute and not think, heel! Everyone hates him!
Yeah. So, that was brought to light during this skit. Even though Layla is a professional wrestler and she's been in this business for a long, long time, it took no work whatsoever for Miz to get under her skin and cause her to flip her lid. It was amazing. He's an amazingly talented, annoying man. I don't know what that means for like his career or anything like that.
It means this is the only business he can exist in.
Yeah.
So, Eve won a bad match with a neck breaker. Yes, Caitlin, who's getting the title match, got pinned. And then she had a tense handshake with Layla afterwards. Swagger was leaving the building. He lost to Sheamus. Figured his night was done. AJ cut him off. She said Jericho had left, and Lesnar had left, and now Punk had left, and now Swagger was leaving, and Swagger didn't really care. He just left anyway. And we got the final anger management skit. Doctor asked everyone to say nice things to each other. And Bryan said that he wasn't angry anymore. He would grant Kane a rematch. And Kane said, "Thanks. I will accept the rematch and I will try not to eviscerate you." And Bryan said, "Well, you won't be able to eviscerate me when you're tapping out." And they started shouting at each other and everyone ran out of the room. And the big payoff to all of this was, as they shouted, finally, the anger management therapist lost control of his anger and started screaming at them, and it just ended. These segments...
That was a lame payoff.
...started off so great, and the payoff was so lame.
Yeah, it was a lame payoff.
They, in hindsight, should totally have shot these in a different order, or shown them on TV in a different order. So some of the good stuff made it to this week. They then announced the fans would be given three options on what they could watch on tonight's show. They could watch Daniel Bryan wrestle Kane in a singles match. They could watch Daniel Bryan team up with Kane in a tag match. Or they could watch them, quote, hug it out.
Yeah.
And that's how it was put on screen with the quotes.
Yes.
That made me laugh for some reason.
Well, it's slang.
I suppose. Stryker tried to get an update on Ricardo's condition. David Otunga is apparently now Alberto's lawyer, and he said his client had no comment. I really, really, really hope this does not mean that Ricardo's been being written out in favor of Otunga. What a severe downgrade that is.
That won't happen, Vinny. All right. They love Ricardo.
Good, good. Talked about the Rock stopping crime on movie sets. Ryback beat Jinder Mahal. There were some Goldberg chants. There were some Feed Me chants. He won with his move. They plugged the song for the next pay-per-view, which is another Kevin Rudolph number. All I got out of this was that Miz was clearly and specifically doing his best to make Michael Cole laugh on camera, and he almost succeeded. AJ told Stryker that Cena versus Del Rio, which is in fact the main event, would be false count anywhere. Why she said this, I have no idea.
To attempt to save the show.
I missed that detail. So Kane and Bryan came out, and they put the results on the screen, and Hug It Out won, going away.
Yes.
A straight majority, 55%. And in fact, the last thing these fans wanted to see was to see Daniel Bryan wrestle Kane in a singles match.
Yeah.
That was the last. More than 80% did not want to see that.
Well, of the available options, I probably would rather see them tag than wrestle each other.
Just by the end of that, the second skit in the show where they were screwing other people over and laughing about it, they would be a fantastic heel tag team.
Yeah.
They would be great.
Well, too bad.
Yep. So, we got Hug It Out. For like 5 minutes, they stretched out this hug. If you've ever seen any pro wrestlers do an arm wrestling match where they get psyched up and they do warm-ups and they do push-ups and they stretch and then they'll slowly get to the arm wrestling desk and they'll put their hands next to each other and they'll start to grip and start to grip and then one guy pull away and they start the whole process over. That's how they handled this hug. There was a ref there to ensure it was a proper hug and they teased hugging many, many times. Bryan moves in for a hug exactly like he moves in for a lockup. That was great. He bumped chest a few times, and that wasn't good enough. And finally, Bryan approached Kane. He gave him a hug as Kane's arms were outstretched. Then Kane did the same to Bryan, but that did not count. They had to hug each other at the same time. So finally, they got very close, and they embraced, and they hugged each other, and patted each other on the back, and everyone cheered and went, "Yay!" And then they were in such a good mood, they shared a manly handshake, and everyone went, "Yay!" And then Bryan slapped Kane on the shoulder, and Kane slapped him back, and Bryan slapped him harder and harder, and soon they were brawling. And the brawl went on, and Kane had a choke slam, and he put a chair on Bryan's head, and he went to the top rope, and he was going to jump off, but ref stopped him, and then Bryan hit him with a chair, and he left. And the crowd was so into this hugging, the tease and the build-up and the delivery of this hug, they were so into that. And when they had this brawl, which, as noted, more than 80% did not want to see them fight, no one cared about the brawl at all.
I felt really bad when I was on vacation. It was me and Wit and her mom and dad and her sister and my buddy Dan, who's dating Wit's sister. This all ties into what we were just talking about, by the way. So we're all getting ready to leave and packing up the car. We're all gathered around to say goodbye. And everybody's saying goodbye, and I give Whit's mom a big hug, and Whitney gives her dad a big hug, and Whitney's sister actually is not there at the time. So it's mom, dad, me, Whit, and Dan. So I hug mom, Whit hugs dad, Dan's kind of just standing there, and I'm like, Dan, you want a hug? And in the most matter-of-fact manner possible, Dan goes, sure. And I had no intentions of giving Dan a hug. So then I was between a rock and a hard place. So I just was like, I had no idea what to do. I was just baffled at the, you know, Dan.
Oh, yeah.
He's an engineer.
Dan is very much like Rich Franklin.
Yes.
He looks like him. He acts like him.
Exactly. Yes. If you know Rich Franklin.
If you ask Rich Franklin. In fact,
It's not Rich Franklin. It's
Nate Quarry.
Nate Quarry.
That's true.
He's exactly.
That is a better match,
looks,
even.
Acts, speaks, grapples exactly like Nate Quarry. And it's a good thing he grapples, too, because after he caught me off guard by saying, sure, I almost did the chest bump to him, but I was just like, I'll hug you in class later. And then I kind of let him go. I felt horrible afterwards because I was like, Dan really wanted a hug, but I just wasn't in a hugging Dan kind of mood. You know what I mean?
You should have hugged Dan.
I should have.
That's what friends do.
But it was too late. It was just such an awkward moment that he backed me into this hugging corner because, you know what I mean? I expected him to say no. And he's so matter-of-fact, said yes. The way I'd ask, like, Dan, do airplanes have wings? Yeah. So anyway. It was not as dramatic as it was made to be on Raw.
I suspect the Daniel Bryan Kane hug was more exciting.
It was a lot more exciting. If only I'd seen that before we left. I could have done the same thing. Head towards Dan like we were going to lock up. And then back away at the last minute.
Yes.
Anyway.
We had Antonio Cesaro versus Santino. Your wife was in the kitchen at this point. She looks up at the screen saying, have I seen this one? I said, I don't know. It's from last night. She said, I didn't see one last night. He's wrestling Antonio again? Yeah, he is. All I ever see him do anymore is wrestle Antonio.
Did she say Antonio or Claudio?
She probably said Claudio.
Yes.
Yeah. But yes, even your wife has figured out that it's the same shit on every show.
By the way, since she's not in the room, there is a rumor that they are considering turning Santino heel.
All right.
I couldn't even believe that when I heard it.
He was a heel before.
It's mind-boggling to me.
Yeah.
It's going to be a sad day in this house when that happens.
Could be. So, all right. The stupid snake storyline has gotten stupider. Santino's going for the Cobra. When I say he's going for the Cobra, this match is literally 15 seconds old. So he starts to put the puppet on, and he realizes that if he puts the puppet on, then his arm will magically become smitten with Oksana, and he won't be able to control it. So he leaves the puppet off. He attempts to do the Cobra strike barehanded, and it does not work. When I say it does not work, I don't mean that he hit Antonio and Antonio no-sold it. I mean, Santino did the hand motions of the Cobra, he went to hit the strike, and his hand stopped in midair. He was unable to complete the blow. So he kept trying to get the puppet back. Antonio stomped on it, and finally he cut him off, and he won with a face buster. End this. Please end this.
Yeah.
Heath Slater versus Zack Ryder. They showed some of the tweets these men had been exchanging to build this up. This is a feud where two men cannot decide who sucks more.
Yeah. Cole had to explain what a Twitter feud was as well.
Yeah. So this is also a house show match. It was a fine house show match. It was not nearly as long as the other one. So Zack wins with a Rough Rider. And I give him credit for this, actually. He is a comedy geek. He won this match. And he immediately held up two fingers. He had won two matches in a row. I laughed. So this win was so important that Vicky Guerrero came out and both men disappeared.
I think it's Zach. I can't remember exactly. Some sort of Twitter comment. I think he essentially noted that he was 2-0 on Raw and he said, feed me more. So it's not looking good for 3 in a row.
No. Well, it never was. He'll lose next week. So Vicky interrupts the celebration. She comes out She stays as a sit-in. She's yammering on forever. They come in back from break. She's still there. AJ comes out looking sad, having a rough night. She said the board of directors had ordered her not to put her hands on any superstar, manager, or anyone else ever again. And they actually let her use the word manager. So she apologized to Vicky. Vicky said that wasn't good enough. Do it again. They stood there doing nothing for a long time. AJ apologized again. Vicky slapped her. AJ charged, but she stopped herself because she can't touch anybody. Vicky cackled like the Wicked Witch, slapped her again, and cackled up the ramp. And AJ screamed and snapped and had a meltdown and beat up the chair, and it went on for way too long. It was time for the main event, which in fact did not have CM Punk or Sheamus in it. It had Alberto Del Rio and John Cena in the Falls Count Anywhere match. First half of this was every John Cena-Alberto match you ever saw. And then it got to the point where ordinarily in a normal match, they would just do a few near falls and a finish. And instead, they rolled out to the floor because it was Falls Count Anywhere. It had a big brawl out there. And at this point, it got great. They were doing spots with the tables. They were throwing each other into the post and the barricade. Crowd was totally into it. They brawled backstage for what might have been a pre-tape. Doesn't really matter. Cena hit an FU onto a box. As soon as he hit this move, CM Punk appeared out of nowhere and kicked him in the head. He put Alberto's limp body on top for the win. So, yes, Alberto pinned Cena. Still gets his title shot. Alberto still gets his title shot. Nothing here was established. And CM Punk hit a GTS onto the hood of a car. And then he got in the car, and the car drove away. And the car slowed down, and the window rolled down. And who should be driving the car but Paul Heyman? So he's managing CM Punk now. I enjoyed this match. This was fun. Does it really matter what happened? Meh.
I'm trying to think. Alberto pinned Cena. So, Cena, I was going to say he could beat Punk, but if they're putting Punk with Paul, I don't think that's going to happen. So, maybe that means that since Alberto pinned Cena, that means that Alberto is not going to beat Sheamus. Although, with the whole...
I cannot believe how much thought you're putting into
this. Ricardo thing... Maybe Ricardo, as a result of what happened, maybe he will be the referee for the match with Alberto and Sheamus and cost Sheamus the win. What if Alberto finally won the title from Sheamus and then Ziggler cashed in on Alberto, won the title, and turned babyface as a result? That's why Dolph has been doing so many jobs lately. He's about to turn.
Sure.
Vinny's not much of a...
It doesn't matter. None of it matters. Sheamus could lose to Del Rio, who could lose to Dolph, and the star of SmackDown will still be Randy Orton.
Actually, I don't know if he's leaving. He was supposed to be leaving, but he's still wrestling on SmackDown this week, and they're still playing up the Ziggler versus Orton feud, so maybe he's not leaving. But he was supposed to be leaving. So if he does leave, there will be a new top star on SmackDown, Vinny.
I suppose that's true.
It'll probably be Sheamus.
Yeah. Which is great.
You are the biggest Sheamus fan I've ever seen.
I will be fine with Sheamus on top.
Let's play a song before we done wrap it up here today. This is also from Victor. He has two songs being played on the same show. So here we go.
Last one was good.
This one's better. I remember. It is a 3-day excursion.
You're doomed.
I am determined to go for 3 days and see a Sasquatch. Come on, Vinny.
Damn it.
Of course, Richard is going to be the group leader, and he is very large.
Uh-oh.
In the wee hours of the morning, all of a sudden I hear... Ah!
Don't go, baby. It's scary.
You don't have to outrun Bigfoot, you just have to outrun everyone else.
This is going to be exciting, Vinny.
Bigfoot catches me and eats me.
Don't go, baby.
Numerous vocalizations.
No thanks.
I glow.
No thanks.
And late night camp visits.
Oh no.
Oh yes.
Oh no.
All these people are killing each other.
If I find Bigfoot, we will be famous. Victor needs to make more songs.
He really does.
That was fabulous.
I enjoyed just Goldberg's theme in the rain.
I like Goldberg's theme and Godzilla.
There was the Godzilla noise in there.
That, to me, was the best part. All right, everybody, we're going to wrap it up for today, but we're going to be back tomorrow, I believe. Oh, actually, no.
I have a plug.
That's right. We got your plug.
I want everyone to go to Google right now and type in three words. Kickstarter. Zombie. Self. First result.
Oh, my God, Greg?
Greg has a project.
How about... Oh, Greg.
Zombie self-defense, everyone. There's a YouTube video. I will read what it says. Zombie self-defense, a practical guide to hand-to-hand combat with the living dead, is an approximately 150-page, 30,000-word, highly detailed martial arts manual. The first of its kind. Zombie self-defense is a completely functional, fully realized treatise on close combat with a walking corpse, with a level of thought, strategy, and expertise that has not been seen in any other work in the genre. Not just another fantasy manual written by armchair warriors, Zombie Self-Defense combines veteran martial artists, special forces soldiers, and covert operators, real people with real-life fighting experience, to create an authentic, practical, and completely legitimate martial art. There is more. There's a YouTube video. There are diagrams. There are various prizes for various pledge levels. Six people have already pledged $100 for this.
Wow.
There's fancy diagrams. I don't want to read all. He wrote a lot.
But I'm a little concerned.
You're what?
A little concerned. Everybody, if you... I recommend going up immediately. And if you want this project to come to life, so to speak, I suggest that you donate, like, right now. Because he's asking for $15,000.
Hell yeah.
And he's currently at $1,840.
Yeah.
With 2 weeks left.
Yeah, it's not gone well.
Vinny, you probably should have done this a little earlier.
Yes. I forgot.
There are some amazing photo. I don't even know if they're photographs or renditions.
Photos that were then given a fancy artistic effect.
How am I not involved in this?
I can call him. Have him on the show. I'm sure he'd love it.
Because this girl is doing a cross-collar choke, and I believe that she's got her hands... incorrectly wrapped around this dead fellow's neck.
Well, I've not watched the entire
it's
thing.
Difficult to see.
I'm not an expert in martial arts or chokes at all. But if you know the key thing to fighting a zombie is that you must at all costs keep his mouth away from your skin.
That is true. She may just be blocking him here, as opposed to attempting to choke him.
Mm-hmm.
I see. Well, again, that's Kickstarter Zombie Self Defense. I've known Greg. I shouldn't say I've known him.
You don't know him.
I haven't seen him in years and years and years and years and years. But I know Greg, and he's an amazing man. So check this out. And as noted, if this strikes your fancy, hopefully it'll strike your pocketbook as well, because he's a tenth of the way there with 2 weeks left. So once again, that's Zombie Self Defense, Kickstarter.com. Head up there and check it out, everybody. And let's cross our fingers, Vinny.
I'm doing my best.
Should have sprung in action earlier, Vinny. You may have to pledge $10,000.
I'll get right on that.
At which point, he'll still need another $3,500.
By the way, there actually is a $10,000 pledge level.
There is.
Yes.
He's so far zero backers.
No.
But he's gotten a lot of 250s, 100s. A lot of 50s, a lot of 25s. Amazingly, no 10s or 5s.
That is strange.
It's kind of amazing. So, yeah, check it out, everybody. And we'll see what we can see. Maybe I will have Greg on the show. It would be fascinating to discuss. This would be an After Dark topic, actually.
It would.
Wouldn't that be funny if he kicked off the return of After Dark? We'll have to talk. All right, everybody, that's it from here. Check out Zombie Self-Defense on Kickstarter. And check out WrestlingObserver.com, at Brian Alvarez on Twitter, at Vinny's, of course, is extremely complicated. They're underscores.
At FO underscore Viverhi.
Yeah. Got that, everyone? So check all of that out. Dave's up as well, at Dave Meltzer, WON. That's really Dave. I should know because I set it up. That's him. And it's amazing. So check out his Twitter as well. Back tomorrow with Lance Storm and Dave Meltzer as well for Wrestling Observer Radio. On Thursday, Todd Martin is going to be on the program, as well as another Brian and Vinny show. We got shows coming up every day. So check it out, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Adios.